Hi, everybody. Ryan Balaji here, and welcome to our first GNM Plus podcast. So with our new GNM Plus membership, which we're so grateful you signed up for, we decided to create a special stream of podcasts, of audio, just for you guys who are GNM Plus members. And that can range from special editions of the 19th Hole Golf Show. We'll try to add a second one every week so that instead of just one, you have two to listen to, and one just for members, so we can dig into some particular topics a little bit differently. Some raw audio, stuff we're just recording while we're out in the field, and special interviews with friends and guests that we won't necessarily put on the 19th Hole Golf Show, but they're stories that we want to tell just to you guys who are GNM Plus members. And this kind of falls into one of those categories. So we were at the U.S. Senior Women's Open. I was playing Pinehurst number 4, and I got an email from Julia Pine from the USGA, and she emailed me to ask if there would be any interest on my end in talking to Kari Webb the Sunday of the championship. She was there yesterday. She was there the day prior. Saw her for a hot second. I've never met her in person, and she was hanging out with her partner. She was an invited guest at the USGA to come and check out the championship because she's a past winner of the U.S. Women's Opens, the three of them. At Pine Needle, she won, I believe, by 8 in her runaway from Sayree Park, and they wanted to have her around all weekend. And really, the only two media people that were there were over the weekend were Ron Cyrak, who was working for the USGA, and myself. And so Julia asked if I'd be interested in talking to Kari, and I emailed her and said, yeah, of course, but I'm on the golf course until probably about 1 o'clock. If she's got to go, I understand. And Julia came back to me and said, no, how about 2? And Kari showed up actually a little bit early, which was pretty cool. So usually you get a little late, and it's not usually bad when they show up early. And so we spoke for about 10-12 minutes about the U.S. Senior Women's Open, her career, and she gave me some really interesting insights. And we're going to write it up for an article for GNN, but I wanted to give you guys a chance to hear directly from Kari as opposed to through my interpretation of a conversation, because I think the way that she speaks offers some really cool insight to how she thinks, way more than words can do. And so I wanted to let you hear directly from her. So without further ado, here's Kari Webb.
So what are your impressions of being here the last couple of days?
Yeah, it's great to be back. You know, obviously some of my best memories of US Open golf is here at Pine Needles.
Right.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. And I went and checked the course out because I've redone the green since I was here last.
What are your impressions of the renovation? Because, I mean, it seems like they did quite a bit of work to kind of restore it.
Well, yeah, so, you know, obviously just before you get to the greens, taking away all the rough and, you know, that's all natural native sort of area now, which probably makes it a little more challenging than just hitting it in the rough, you know, because you don't know what sort of lie you're going to get if you miss the fairway. And the greens don't, I mean, obviously I didn't get to walk on any of them, so it's hard to tell from, you know, sitting, you know, behind the ropes there. But I think probably the biggest challenge would be that they're Bermuda. And so then the grain has a bigger influence than what the bent used to have.
Because they were bent when the U.S. Open, Women's Opens were here, right?
Yeah,
that's a big change.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seemed to be running really quick, at least relative to...
Yeah, it sounds, talking to the players, there's lots of grain in the greens.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what's made it challenging. And I think, you know, most of the slopes, the Bermuda would be growing down grain, so that just makes the slopes faster.
Even more penal.
You know, if you miss. So it's hard, you know, the ball's not going to stop.
Have they been pretty happy being back here? From people that you know that have played at... That they've been pretty happy with it?
I think they know the history of Pine Needles and the Bell family and Peggy. And I think, you know, they're happy that there is a U.S. Women's Senior Open.
How do you feel about the existence of it?
You know, I think it's better late than never. you know, I think it would have been good to see it when, you know, the likes of Betsy King, Pat Bradley, Patty Sheehan were, you know, only 50, rather than them being in their mid-60s.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been really cool to see them all competing against one another again.
Do you think this might help spur on the Legends Tour in some sense, or is that kind of its own
Yeah, I hope so. You know, it'd be good. I think the challenge with the US Open being 50 is that, you know, it's quite easy for the men to transition because they play the way through to 50. It's not many women that play on the LPGA all the way through to 50. So, you know, once you get out of competition, it's just different, you know. You can play, you know, money games all you want, but, you know, when you have ropes up and you have to knock in your 2.5-footer rather than being given to
whether
you.
It's good, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a whole, you know, different can of worms, you know, like, You're managing your emotions that you don't normally have to even think about.
Yeah. So far, it seemed the first couple of years of the tournament's pretty well boiled down to the handful of players that still play competitively, whether it's the LPGA or the LET,
exactly.
Or whether that's...
Yeah, and I think that's showing that. Although Helen Alfredson is playing well. She doesn't play
too frequently.
Any tour golf anymore.
Yeah.
It's good to see. I mean... Even like a Nancy Bowen's up there, she doesn't play competitively anymore. So there's a few players that are playing well this week that you know wouldn't be used to being in the mix of competition.
When do you contemplate what competitive life would look like when you're eligible for this at 50?
I'm not in any rush to get to 50.
Is anyone?
Yeah, no. You know, I was the youngest on tour when I was a rookie. So a lot of the people I competed against are here this week already. You know, they're already 50.
Yeah.
And I guess you don't really think about people's ages until, you know, there's an age.
Until there's a requirement.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, wow, they're 50. You know, there's a couple of players here I didn't realize were that much older than me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, no, I haven't really thought about what it's going to look like in 6 years' time. So
that's a little too far off in the future.
Yeah.
And then how do you feel now having gone from being the youngest person when you made your tour debut to being one of the folks who has the most experience on the LPGA
tour?
That's
a nice way of putting it.
Yes.
obviously, there's girls on tour now that weren't even... born when I was a rookie, so it was like that when I first came on tour being the youngest, but I was 21. You know, now we're getting 16 and 17, 18 year olds out there, so it's fun to still be competing against players that are less than half your age.
To come back to your US Women's Open win here, what do you still think about from when you recall that win? What are kind of your big shots or your big takeaways from it was a route, right? It was a runaway, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I started the day with a 5-shot lead and won by 8. But there was a couple of moments on the last round that could have swung it to being closer, and, you know, just things went my way. I made a putt or Sari didn't make a putt. But for me, I've won 7 majors, and it's the only major that I won heading into the week where I was really happy with my preparation and how I was swinging it that week. Like, I fully expected to be in contention on Sunday, and that whole week I played with no swing thoughts. Like, I don't think I've played another tournament in my career without swing thoughts. So it was just a really, you know, one of those tournaments where everything was firing on all cylinders and you know, I was, you know, without being cliche, I was, you know, definitely in the zone. Like, every part of my game was great.
I mean, Koepka's going to win this thing today, and they asked him after the round yesterday, do you think there's any chance you won't win tomorrow? And he said, no. Is that kind of how you felt?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question to ask. Like, you know,
Why would he say yes, right?
Yeah. I think there's always a chance. It has been done before. And I honestly think leads like that are really uncomfortable because you don't want to play too aggressively because why? You don't need to.
Right.
But you also don't want to get out of your game plan that you have been doing.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I mean, it's really windy there today, so, you know, who knows?
Could happen.
Yeah.
To go back to, so you kind of didn't feel good about preparation into the other six majors that you won?
Yeah, I was always a really bad practicer.
Okay.
You know, just, I think I just couldn't get, I practiced a lot, but it was never great practice.
Yeah.
And I think I just couldn't get, I just lifted, my intensity and everything lifted so much more once I walked through the gate of the ropes to the first tee. But it never filled me with confidence walking to the first tee because, you know, because I hadn't practiced well. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
It was almost like subconsciously I was, you know, dumbing down the expectations and, you know, put a couple of good swings on it down the first and then I was right, you know, I was competing.
You almost kind of knew at the gate whether or not it was going to
happen. Yeah, it was almost like I had to be competing to get my game to the highest level.
Do you still feel that way?
I probably practice better now than I ever have, and so then it's like the challenge is to carry that over out into the golf course.
What changed over that time period?
Well, I won't say I'm not a perfectionist, but I think I just took the expectation away from practice.
Yeah.
Which then freed you up to probably practice better.
Yeah.
And I probably practiced more efficiently. Like I was sun up to sun down, so you're never gonna get good quality practice out of yourself if
right.
you're doing it for that many hours. So yeah, my practice just became more efficient, and I got out of it what I got out of it. I didn't dwell on any of the poor shots like I probably did when I was younger.
Do you feel like you would have achieved even more if you knew what you know now playing at that age?
Yeah, I don't know. I think ignorance is bliss, especially in golf.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think so. I think I needed to be the person I was to get what I got out of myself.
All right, last question. So you have the unique distinction of having all of the LPGA majors, basically, at least the modern ones.
Yeah.
So what would it mean to win, I guess, the super, super, whatever term you apply to it, by winning this?
Evian. Yeah, obviously that would be really, really special because there's no one on tour that will ever do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wouldn't ever be a record that, unless, I guess, the majors changed a number of times in the future, but,
right.
You know, it would be something that would never be equaled or broken. But, you know, it's not a priority. Like if it happens, that would be wonderful. But, you know, I have won at Evian, you know, so I'd take winning any top golf tournament right now. So I'm not going to be too picky on whether it's Evian or not.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thanks for the time.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you again to Kari and to the USGA for being so kind, arranging that time together. It was really cool insight to someone who, frankly, I hadn't thought about speaking with until basically lunchtime on Sunday and didn't have a whole lot of time to research what exactly I wanted to ask. But the conversation went in a really interesting direction as she talked about not ever really feeling truly prepared to win a major, not being happy with how she prepared to win majors, yet she won so many of them. And then where her career is now, where it goes from here. So I really, really enjoyed talking to her. I mean, she was engaging. She was interesting. She had a good wit, good sense of humor about her, and I appreciate her time. And thank you for being a GNN Plus member. Hopefully you enjoyed this first GNN Plus podcast. Again, it'll be kind of a hodgepodge of things, some 19th Hole Golf Show episodes just for you, a mix of other audio. We may even do some other audio storytelling that we're trying to think about in the background that will just be interesting and different to try. So stay tuned as we do that, but this will be the single feed, single place for all of that stuff, and hopefully you'll enjoy. So please give us feedback if you can, Ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Can't wait to hear from you, and thanks again for being a GNN Plus member.